Lancaster Baptist Church podcast is designed to inspire you to love God, grow you in the knowledge of God's Word, and challenge you to serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
Proverbs 12, verses 1 through 11 for our scripture reading tonight. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you tonight for your word and for the time we have in the middle of the week just to open up the Bible and grow and just get a midweek meal. I pray that you would help us tonight to learn truths that would stabilize our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, I've had two major quests in my life here in Lancaster, one lesser, one greater. The first major quest has been to get anything to grow in the soil in Lancaster. How many of you know that the Mojave Desert is horticulturally challenged when it comes to growing stuff? And I remember years ago, my first neighbor in Lancaster, she was an ordained Pentecostal minister. And she, on one occasion, I had to have a talk with her because she kept throwing her cigarette butts over the fence onto a little jacuzzi that my father-in-law had bought for us. And it had a plastic cover, and she kept throwing her cigarettes in the backyard, and some of them got on that cover, and they burned that plastic cover. And I didn't mind the cigarette butt so much, but burning the cover was over the top. And so I went over and introduced myself to her, and she let me know that she was an ordained Pentecostal minister, and I congratulated her, you know, and everything. And I asked her if she'd stop throwing her cigarettes over in my yard and so forth. And she also let me know she was a Christian rock artist, and if I ever wanted her for a gig, she gave me her card for a gig, and so I never felt like I should book her or anything, but in the process of that conversation, she said to me, I see you're putting some grass in the backyard, and she said, I'm just going to tell you, if you're going to grow grass in Lancaster, you're going to have an automated watering system, and I thought, what does an ordained Pentecostal woman-smoking preacher know about growing stuff in the backyard? I don't need a watering system. I'll just go back there and water it with the hose. And for all the things that I believe she was wrong on and for all the things I think she was really wrong about, the one thing she really knew about was that you have to have an automated watering system to grow stuff in your backyard in Lancaster. And so from that early day, from having my grass die to having to go back and retrench and put in sprinklers and then trying to get other things to grow, including this campus. And I'm telling you right now, we are on a mission. And about the time I'm just teeter-tottering and ready to go home to be with the Lord, we're going to have trees all over this property. I hope you know that. I mean, I'm working on it. And it's frustrating because the other day I said to the guys, I said, hey, we need to plant a couple plants out there at the entrance. And I know my doctor would say, stop worrying about the plants on your campus. Stop worrying about those little things. Like you worry too much about the details. And I know that's what he'd say to me, but sometimes I can't help it. I see something dead and I want to get it living again. And I said to the guys, you need to put some new plants out there at the entryway. So they did. And I went by them this afternoon on my way home and I looked over those plants and guess what? They're dying already. They've been in the ground one single week, and they're already trying to die. I drove by the main entrance on Sunday afternoon. I drove by the main sign down there at the corner, And I said, I can't believe it. The grass in front of this Lancaster Baptist Church sign, it's dying. And I called 17 staff members to tell them about it and made a note of it and came back in the next day. I said, we got to get some water out there. By the way, we have the best landscape guy in America here on this campus, Brother Don Schellenberg. He is a blessing. And he's always so sensitive to help his pastor. And I said, when I hired him, I said, look, I don't have any great expectation, except I want our campus to look like Disneyland. That's all, okay? So I want it to be that good. And so I'm just telling you, we're working on it, but this is a constant thing. And one of the things that happens a lot is we'll plant trees out here in the parking lot area or out in the grass area, and for the first few days, they just are like, look at that. Green leaves. Tennessee has nothing on us. Look at that right there, you know. And boy, we'll have these trees going, you know. And then you go back a week or two later, and they start to look sad and sadder and dead and deader. It's just amazing to me how something can look so right, and then just a little while later, looks so wrong. And so it's just like a lifelong challenge. Now, how many of you would say we are getting some stuff growing around this campus? How many of you would say, and boy, if you haven't been out to the wonderful little miniature golf course, you ought to go out there tonight, and there's trees out there, and you can see the trees down by the ball field, and just kind of see everything, how nice it looks. But it takes a lot of work. Now, that's my lesser passion, and that is just trying to get stuff to grow. And I have fun with it. I mean, we had a good garden this year. I think we might have had 50 zucchinis and 100 tomatoes and beets, and we worked at it, and some stuff didn't do as well. I don't know why. If you know how to get raspberries going, I only got five raspberries. I mean, it's hard to like put it all over your ice cream. You know, one for you, one for you. And so I haven't figured out the raspberry thing yet, and I'm having trouble with the corn thing, but we're working at it, right? So that's been something I've worked on since coming to Lancaster, is just getting anything to grow around here. And by the way, we're going to get her done. It's going to get done. We're going to get lots of stuff, but it's just a journey. Now, that's the lesser. The greater goal and the greater effort. Can you guys put the camera over here on that logo over here? I don't know if you can or not, and put that on the screen, because that's our church logo. Not on me, I know. Over here. That doesn't look very good, does it? Not very impressive. All right, we don't have all of our equipment up, so I tried. But that logo there, which simply has a leaf and the cross in the middle, represents the greater passion of my life for these 26 years. And that has been to get people rooted and grounded in Christ so that we can grow together in Christ. Now, I've got to tell you something. If all we had on this whole campus was desert landscaping, how many of you know what that is? Pea gravel, that's what it is. If someone says, we're going to do desert landscaping, I always go, you know, we're going to go green. How come go green is pea gravel? I don't understand that, you know. So people want to do, but I'm telling you, I'd rather have pea gravel all over the campus, not one tree, not one bush, nothing, and have people growing in Christ, wouldn't you? And I want to tell you something tonight, because this Bible study is entitled Roots That Stabilize. And I'm telling you right now, if we don't have the roots just right, and Brother Schellenberg's been teaching me that when you plant a new tree, they have to be a few inches above the ground. I never knew that. I thought you just put those babies all the way under the ground. He said they have to be slightly elevated, and they have to have just this certain compost and chemicals and just this certain amount of water. And if they don't, they're never going to make it. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's word is the soil that we must get our lives rooted in if we're going to grow at Lancaster Baptist Church. And what we're going to learn tonight is that biblical knowledge produces insight for a spiritual life and for a spiritually rooted life. And God's word shows us tonight some areas where we need to be rooted, or we're going to be just like that tree that looked so good. By the way, that's one of the things that can be deceiving, is that we can look so good. And lots of us went home and showered. Some of us put on some foo-foo juice and maybe a tie. And, you know, we tried to clean up a little bit. But hey, the fact is we can look good one day and we can fall right over the next day, right? I'm not against foo-foo juice. I'm glad some of you put that on. Don't get me wrong. And I appreciate you cleaning up. But it's not about the outside. It's not about how we smell or look. It's about what's going on inside our heart. So let's look at the text tonight. First of all, God's word teaches us that we need to be rooted in godly instruction. We need to get rooted in godly instruction. Now, a lot of times people get rooted in their list of what they think is good, but we're not here just to get a philosophy in that sense. We're here to get rooted in what does the Bible say. It's not enough to say to your teenagers, hey, we don't watch that. Why, Dad? Because the preacher said. That's not enough. Okay? The fact of the matter is we need to have some scriptural backing for what we believe. We need to get rooted in godly instruction. Now, there's three kinds of instruction we see in these verses. Verse 1, whoso loveth instruction, first of all, loveth, what's the next word say? Knowledge. Knowledge. Biblical learning brings about a greater knowledge or understanding. Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord. Now, let me ask you something. What is it that you are willing to lose in order that you can know Christ more, right? What do you need to lose in order to know Him more? You know, sometimes I've learned in gardening, and I'm not an expert gardener, as I said earlier, I'm a learner about it, but I have learned that it helps when you sometimes put better soil in the garden. And we have two goats, Gideon and Samuel. What's funny about that? Camden named him Gideon Samuel. And someday I'm going to figure out, I haven't figured out yet, but I will be bringing them to church. They're going to help me preach someday. They really like me. A lot of people in church don't say hi to me, but whenever I go in my backyard, they go, bah, bah, like that. And I appreciate it. You know, one of the reasons I got Gideon and Samuel is because they make fertilizer. Come on, folks, stay with me here tonight, all right? Some of you are taking life way too serious lately. Because what I have found is that if you get the right fertilizer in that garden, it helps the garden to grow. Sometimes you have to take out some of that sandy loam soil, and you have to get the right fertilizer. And I've even brought in wheelbarrows full of good ground in order to get that garden so that it might grow. And sometimes you have to count all things loss in order to gain what you want to gain. And I'm telling you that sometimes in our spiritual lives, we have to want Jesus more than anything else in order to have our lives rooted and grounded in Him. Psalm 16:7, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. And so godly instruction includes knowledge. Look at secondly, it says in verse 2, a good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. The second thing that God says I can give you with my instruction is favor. A man who has received the knowledge of God has obtained the favor of the Lord. And what a blessing to know that. Listen tonight, God is favoring us with His Word. God is giving us His Word tonight that we might know Him. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous and His ears are open unto their prayers. God says, I know who you are. I'm watching you. I'm with you. I want you to have my knowledge and my favor. And then the third thing that God gives to us is He gives us a foundation for living. Look at verse 3. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. So when you're rooted in godly instruction, now you have a foundation that will not be moved. A man shall not be established by wickedness. You see, a man whose life is a life given over to sin and frivolity and the things only of this world, he's going to be unstable. He's going to be looking for acceptance in all the wrong places. But the Bible says here in verse 3 that the root of the righteous shall not be moved. And what a blessing tonight. And that's why we're doing everything we can, Colossians 2:7, to be rooted and grounded in Christ. Because it is in that rootedness that we will find security, that we will not be moved. And you've heard the illustration way back in January when I preached about tumbleweed Baptists. Why do tumbleweeds blow so easily? Because they have a root system that's about that big and it's in the wrong kind of soil. But you take your life and you get rooted and grounded in Christ. I mean the good, rich soil of the Word of God. And I believe the church is like a planter box, and I believe a good local church should be filled with lots and lots of good soil. And I believe that the soil is God's Word. Word giving us the nutrients that we need. And the pastor's job is to pull the weeds out of that soil so that God's people can grow, keep the problems out so that God's Word can do what only God's Word can do. And when you're rooted in God's Word, you have knowledge, you have favor, and you have a foundation that will not be moved. Now, I've seen people rooted in relationships, but when they're, and I believe in relationships, thank God for our Sunday school classes. But when a relationship goes wrong, i.e. they sell something to a friend and it breaks and that friend is mad, or they do work for a friend at church and then the work isn't good, or somebody's kid says something. When the relationship goes wrong, now they're sour on God. And my friend, we're not here to get rooted in earthly relationships. Thank God for the good ones, but we're here to get rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ tonight. That's what this is all about. And because that way when the storms blow, we're not going to get blown over, you see. So rooted in godly instruction. That's what we need tonight. Verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. Verse 3. But the root of the righteous shall not be moved. Now, the longer that I live, the more I pray, Lord, help me. Help me to finish well. Help me to be rooted well. Help me, Lord, that I might have that foundation that will be pleasing to you. How many of you know that the devil's got a target on your back if you're a Christian today? And boy, he's going to blow everything he can blow your way to get you to fall over in these last days. So we need to be rooted in godly instruction. Secondly, we need to be rooted in godly counsel. Now, I do some counseling, and several others on our staff do counseling. But I've said this for many years, the best counseling that I know how to give is what I'm doing right now. It's opening the Bible and teaching the Bible. How many of you believe God's Word is the best counsel you'll ever get? It's the best counseling manual for family. It's the best counseling manual for finance. It's the best counseling manual for trials. God's Word is our counseling manual. And it says in verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. Now, the first kind of counsel that we need is virtuous counsel. Virtuous counsel. If a wife loves her husband, according to Bible love, she will encourage him and help him, and she will be a blessing or a crown to her husband. Proverbs 31:23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. And I just want to say tonight, thank God for godly women here at Lancaster Baptist Church. I've been blessed for 26 years to pastor ladies who, I can't say they've probably never gossiped, but they sure have refrained from it. I thank God for ladies that have a heart to serve the Lord, and for so many of you that are a godly wife to your husband. I don't make any bones about the fact that in my life I've tried to follow the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and I've had counselors in my life, in the church, out of the church. But probably my closest counselor is my wife. And I thank the Lord that she's not a wife that leads me away from the things of God, but into the things of God. Over the years, my experience has been that many men will leave church or they will get out of God's will because they have a wife that's whining or complaining or jealous or upset. And ladies, you have the power to influence. You can make your husband so miserable that he'll say, I quit, that's it. All right, what do you want to do? You want to be a Presbyterian? You want to go to the gig with pastor's old neighbor? Whatever you want to do. Because I'm tired of this dripping bucket syndrome that's going on. And I thank God for a wife that in the lowest times of our 26 years in ministry and 30-some years in ministry, that she has been a virtuous woman to say to me, sweetheart, God will make a way. I don't understand it either, but I know that God will be faithful. And I sure thank God for you. And sometimes I've seen her in her secret prayer time, and I've heard her praying and calling my name to the Lord. And sometimes she'll put a little note in my organizer for the next day. I'm praying for you. Every time I've ever gone somewhere to preach or somewhere to try to help, I'll open up my suitcase and there'll be a little note there from my wife. I'm praying for you today. Thank you for being a faithful husband. Thank you for being a wonderful dad, a granddad. And she's never thanked me for the goats, but she's working on that part. The Bible says in verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. I'm just saying, some of you ought to think about where you're going to get your counsel and make sure it's coming from virtuous people. Someone said something the other day, and it could have been taken either way. I said, was that statement made out of compassion or out of sarcasm? And make sure that what you're saying is virtuous and that it's right. And let me tell you something. That's the spirit of a godly woman. I'm going to preach about this Sunday morning about envy and strife. Look, if something bad happens to someone, we should not feel good about that. And if something good happens to someone, we should rejoice with them. But virtuousness, virtuous counsel is such a blessing. And you look at, I don't understand a lot of times a young married couple getting marriage counseling from another young married couple, or someone that's having trouble in one area getting counsel from someone who's also having trouble. Find someone that has the virtue of God and the word of God and seek their counsel. Secondly, we need righteous counsel. Verse 5 says, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. You know, Ephesians 4:23 says we're to be renewed in our mind. And let me tell you this, you cannot stay faithful in the Word of God and continuously have rotten thoughts. But when you are faithful in the Word of God, you're going to have a counsel that is a righteous counsel. Then notice, thirdly, it's a delivering counsel that we need. Verse number 6 says, the words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. A perverse heart will lead you into more difficulty. A perverse heart will tell you, hey, just do what you want to do, or just leave your spouse, or just stop being faithful to the Lord. A perverse heart will only lead to more trouble. But someone that is wise will help us to be delivered, the Bible says in this verse, that there is a deliverance, and the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. And I thank God for upright men that have been a blessing in my life, and they've said things to me like, you know, you ought to just let that go, or just forgive that situation, or be careful about that. You know what good counsel does? It helps you to avoid making bad mistakes. And I was telling Brother Tierney the other day, he used to teach our singles, and I said, Brother Tierney, I appreciate that you taught our singles about the importance of getting counsel before they make a major decision about their marriage or their career or something. And I don't think I need to counsel everyone on what color car to get or what kind of house to buy or, you know, whether you should go to McDonald's or In-N-Out Burger. I mean, you don't have to say things that are already in the Bible. But I do think single adults who are starting to make humongous decisions need to know they have a pastor who would be glad to help counsel in those areas. And I believe that when someone gets some wise counsel, someone gets to that place where they're making huge decisions. I was talking with a young man the other day, and he was dating someone, and he said to me, he said, you know, I just don't have a real peace about this. I just don't have a peace about the relationship. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you something. Don't be telling her you love her and giving her all kinds of jewelry, and don't be doing this for your parents or her parents. He's a man in his mid-20s. I said, let me just encourage you. If you don't have a peace about this, don't make it worse by faking like you have a peace about it. And be careful about that. And it might be something simple, but we need counsel. Sometimes we need counsel about friendship, sometimes about finances, whatever the case may be. But the good kind of counsel is the kind, verse 6, that will deliver you, that will not enslave you. I've seen some people make decisions in their financial life that later on, maybe if they would have had some counsel, and not just from the one or two, but I mean some well-rounded counsel. By the way, most things that are going to get us rich quick, probably we shouldn't get into them. And get some good counsel. Good counsel delivers us, right? It delivers us. And so we need to be rooted in godly instruction, and then we need to be rooted in godly counsel, getting good counsel, Bible-based counsel. Thirdly, we need to be rooted in godly protection. Godly protection. Right knowledge produces the right heart, which produces right living. And there's protection in that. So notice what we see here. First of all, we are protected by God's wisdom. Verse 7 says, "The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised." Now, first of all, wisdom protects us. We're protected by wisdom. It tells us here that our house, verse 7, will stand. The house of the righteous shall stand. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We don't like trees that get blown right over. We got to plant them all again. And we try to figure out what kind of soil could we have put in there and what kind of fertilizer. And maybe we need to stake that thing up for a while so that it can make it, you know. And we've got to try to somehow protect that plant. I remember when Brother Furso first came on staff and we had a work day and all of us guys got our jeans on and we were planting all kinds of stuff and trying to put the landscaping in around the building. And we got that in. And then I said to a couple of guys, I said, "Why don't you guys trim some of those trees over there? And we need to trim them up." And I remember coming out and looking at a tree, and I mean, it was a toothpick. There were no branches. I'm trying to get this place green around here. I said, "Who trimmed that tree? They murdered the tree." Brother Furso said, "Hey, I just believe in doing a good job, you know, and you said trim it. I trimmed it." I said, "Man, he really did trim that. Just trimmed it right down." Well, I'm going to tell you something. When it comes to this matter of building a house that will stand, we need to realize that God wants us to have the right foundation so that it will stand. And verse 7 says this, "The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand." We want to do everything we can to help these plants and trees stand. Apart from killing them, right, Brother Furso? We don't want to kill them. But the fact of the matter is, in our lives, if we're going to stand, it's going to be because of the wisdom of the Word of God. Job 8:22 says, "They that hate thee shall be clothed with shame, and the dwelling place of the wicked shall come to naught." Proverbs 2:22, "But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it." And so we want to have the protection that God's wisdom brings. We want our house to stand. How many of you want your house to stand?
Amen.
Say, "Well, I've got earthquake insurance." No, I'm talking about your spiritual house standing for the Lord. By the way, don't take your wife for granted. Don't take your husband for granted. Don't take your children for granted. Tell them every day that you love them. And help them to be propped up and encouraged. And help them to stand in the Lord. Your house will stand. By the way, if you walk in wisdom, your testimony will be preserved. Your testimony will be preserved. Look at verse number 8. "A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised." So you're either going to be commended, which means to be praised or to shine, or you're going to be despised. You're going to be despised. And someone that walks according to wisdom is someone that is commended. And I love this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 17. "But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Remember, we learned that a couple Sunday nights ago. We want to glory in the Lord. "For he that commendeth himself is approved." But he whom the Lord commendeth. Now, we can talk all day about how great we are and how much we know and how much wisdom we have. But isn't it better when the Lord can just show that to somebody? When the Lord just makes it obvious that, you know what, there's some wisdom in that particular life. There's some wisdom in that decision. So we're going to be protected by biblical wisdom. Secondly, we're going to be protected through humility. Protected through humility. Look at verse 9. "A man shall be commended," verse 9. "He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread." Now, isn't that an amazing verse? Better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. You know, a lot of times men will honor themselves. They'll boast of themselves and be full of pride. But really, when you look a little further, they're not doing so well themselves. I've been amazed over the years. I've had men kind of come in. They want to give financial counseling. They want to tell you how to do this investing or that investing. And I've never been one to buy into that type of stuff real quickly. I've seen so many come and go, so many fly by night. What I want to know is, over the years, how are they doing? Sometimes I've seen men talk about parenting and write about parenting, and I'm not saying this to be critical, but I've known some who've written and spoke about it whose kids just weren't doing so well. And you know, the fact of the matter is that when we convince ourselves that we've got all the answers and try to convince others that we have all the answers, sometimes that's the opposite of humility. Now, I really believe all of us, even when we have success, need to learn how to say, thank God for His grace. He sure has blessed me in spite of myself. How many of you would say that's probably the right response? If you've been blessed with your children, then thank God for His grace. And by the way, as I always say, don't get real boastful about it because we just never know. It ain't over till it's over, right? And whatever little blessings you've had, be thankful for that, but don't be boastful about it. If God blesses you materially, be grateful. You don't have to be guilty about it, but don't boast about it. Just thank God that He's been good to you. If God's blessed you in some other way. And so it says here in verse number 9 that he that honoreth himself can sometimes be like the one that lacketh bread. And it reminds me of the story of Hudson Taylor as he went to speak at a large church in Australia. The moderator of the service introduced Hudson Taylor and said, we're now going to hear from our illustrious guest. And he said all these things about the illustrious guest. And Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, stood up in the pulpit and he said, dear friends, I am the little servant of an illustrious master. I'm the little servant of an illustrious master. And what I found is that Christians that are really godly Christians, the more successful they become, the more readily they want to deflect the praise to the Lord. And the more readily they just want to remind everybody, you know what? It's all because of God's amazing grace. Verse 10 says it this way, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. It speaks about humility, which is power under control. It speaks about a man that is kind even to his donkey or to his animal. It speaks about someone who has a spirit that is right. And so we need to be protected by humility. You know, in this age where we expect our rights and we want to be treated with certain customer service and we think we deserve this or we deserve that, sometimes we need to remember that apart from the grace of God, we would have absolutely nothing. We would be on our way to a Christless hell. And godly protection comes in humility. Why? Because pride goeth before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a what? A fall. And we need to always keep that spirit before the Lord. Protected by wisdom, protected by humility. Thirdly, protected from vanity. Look at verse 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Now again, sometimes these quick, get-rich-quick things come along, and some vain person, some guy that's been involved in 7 or 8 of these schemes now, and he wants you to follow him. But the Bible says, why don't you just keep tilling your land? You know, why don't you just keep on doing an honest day's work? Why don't you just keep on doing the wise thing, being a faithful worker, and protect yourself from the life of vanity that is out there? You know, all of us, if we're not careful, we can be easily impressionable. We can get all excited about something that seems just right. But we need to make sure that that thing that seems that way is really biblically just right. And not to get caught up in the emotion of making a decision that's not really found scripturally to be the right thing. And look at verse 11 where it says, but he that followeth the vain, that means the wasteful, the vain thing. Vanity has led more people to believe that they don't need to work or that they don't need to put any effort in, that they can make it on talent. Like, listen, not everyone's going to win first place in America's Got Talent or whatever the name of these other shows are about the superstars that get up there and sing. But we're raising a generation of young people that somehow think, someday I'm going to, without studying, without really trying in school, I'm going to just be a famous singer someday. And normally, if it's all about vanity and they do become a famous singer, they don't live for the Lord anyways. Let me tell you what, moms and dads, teach your children how to read the Bible. Teach them how to do their homework. Teach them how to make their bed. Teach them how to have decent character in their life. And something that we've tried to do here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I've said this for the years, I would rather hire people with character than people with talent. We don't try to go out and hire, someone says, well, that guy, he is the greatest this and the most wonderful that and can really sing or can really do this or that. Or someone might say, well, here's a guy who come to our college and play basketball who's 7 feet tall and he can jump up and swing around 3 times and slam dunk the basketball. Now, you know, we're not sure that he's saved or anything, but we really want to win basketball games. Look it, we want to bring people in who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't want to cut the corners in that area. So we want to make sure that it's not a thing of vanity, but that we're following the Lord and His will. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would work not, neither should he eat. And again, the Lord, 1 Corinthians 3:20, again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. And so we're not to boast in man's wisdom. We're to boast in God's wisdom, and we're to avoid vanity. And so here it is. It's not just about getting plants rooted. It's about getting people rooted. And people that love God are going to be rooted in godly instruction. And we're going to open the Bible and say, Lord, help me to understand and get my roots here. And then we're going to sometimes need counsel. We're going to say, Lord, let me get some counsel from the preaching tonight, or let me get with a godly person who knows your word, because I'm just kind of wavering right now. I need godly counsel in this matter so that my ways will be established. And besides instruction and counsel, sometimes we need protection from the vain thing, from the vain man that comes along or the vain woman and says, hey, you want to try something great? Try this. And you'll have to miss a lot of church, and you'll have to quit your job, or you'll have to do this or that. And yet it's just an empty promise, you see, like clouds without rain. And so what we need to do is stay with the truth of the Word of God. And we need to be rooted and grounded in Christ and grounded in His Word. And I'll tell you what, if you'll take the Bible and read a proverb a day, that you'll be well on your way to getting the wisdom that God wants for you. Just staying in the Proverbs and following after that which is wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Well, let's pray together, shall we? Lord, thank you tonight that you have given to us your word, which is the soil that we can deeply root ourselves in. And I just pray tonight that you would give to our church family the instruction, counsel, and protection that only comes from your word. And I pray, God, that you would help someone tonight that might be just about to fall over because their roots have been going in the wrong soil. Help them tonight to get rooted and grounded in you and in your word. And I pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for being a growing Christian and for joining us for today's message. To find out more about Lancaster Baptist Church or about Pastor Paul Chapel, go to lancasterbaptist.org or paulchapel.com.